As a listener to the Beef Watch podcast, we would really appreciate your feedback on the content we provide. By going to go.unl.edu/podcast and completing a 5-question survey, you will help us know what has been beneficial to you and also what you would like to listen to more of. Again, that's go.unl.edu/podcast, or you can also go to the beef.unl.edu website and you'll find the survey there. Thanks for being a listener to the Beef Watch podcast. We really look forward to getting your feedback. Welcome to the Beef Watch podcast. I'm Aaron Berger, a Nebraska Extension educator. For today's Beef Watch podcast, we're going to discuss an article from the October issue of the Beef Watch newsletter titled Fall and Winter Management Strategies for the Cowherd: Sample, Test, Inventory, and Stage Harvested Hay. To have a conversation about this, I'm joined today by the co-authors, Dr. Rick Grasby, who's Nebraska Extension Cowcast Specialist, as well as Ben Beckman, who's a Nebraska Extension Educator based in Cedar County, focused on forages and grazing systems. Thanks for joining me today, gentlemen.
Yeah, I'm good to be here.
Yeah, happy to chat, Aaron.
Well, as we record this podcast, we're sitting here in the early part of October, and a lot of the hay has already been harvested and put at the edge of the field. For some of us, we're still getting that fourth cutting put up or harvesting some summer annuals. But in the article, you talk about, let's start to plan for our fall and winter feeding strategy and just walk through some things we need to know and get in place to do that effectively. Let's first start with sampling hay. Tell us a little about what we need to know with that and the importance of it.
Well, Aaron, I think that, you know, this year especially might be a really good year for folks, if you haven't already had a history of doing hay sampling, to consider doing it. Especially, we've had portions of the summer that were really wet, and I know at least up in our neck of the woods, there was some hay that was put up a little bit probably on the juicy side, and that can have some, you know, big implications from mold and from overheating and having some damage and things like that. Just the quality of the hay too, you know, even if it didn't get put up wet, if they let it go a little bit long, can have some big impacts on where that actually stands out in terms of what we have in the hay yard. And so doing some sampling and knowing exactly what we actually have to deal with and develop rations with is really important. And so the best thing that you can do is go out, pull some samples and send them into a laboratory and get some results back. And in order to do that, you either need a hay probe of your own. A lot of extension offices have them that you can go to and lease out or loan out, I guess. We don't charge anything for them as long as you bring them back in good condition. And you want to go in and basically take a general sample of the hay that you have and try to get as broad of a sample as you can is really important as well. So you're wanting to go into the side of the bale that you're going to get the most layers through. So that's the round part of a round bale. If you've got the big square bales, you want to go on the front end and get as many layers as you can. And you want to take about 20 sub-samples, so 20 cores per lot. And what we consider a lot is a group of hay that's been harvested at about the same time. So, and it's from generally the same condition. So the same field, if you've got some really dramatic differences in a field, maybe we're in the sandhills and you've got some upland hay and you've got some sub-irrigated hay, you know, those would be two separate lots. If you've got a field that you harvested, you know, 2 weeks earlier in a field that you had to wait a while on to get to, you know, those would be different lots as well. So basically, hay that's going to be similar, we can take those sub-samples, those cores, mix them all together, take out that quart-size bag or so that we need to send into the lab.
You know, Aaron, I think about sample, test, inventory, and stage. I think sampling is going to, it's the most important one, because if you don't get a representative sample of the lot of hay that you want to know what the quality is, then you started off on the wrong foot anyway. And so I think as you think about what we're trying to do here, the testing part is really, really important.
So let's talk about testing. What are some things we need to test hay for? What's the important information we need to get?
So I think the idea is once you get a representative sample, at least when we think about beef cows, you'd want moisture and you'd want protein and you'd want TDN. And if you're doing a summer annual, you'd want to get nitrates as well. You think about those three components, or four components if you include nitrates. Those will give you the information that you need to inventory and stage and then develop rations. So those would be the items that I'd have you think about. Sometimes, and depending on the lab, you'll get a protein, percent crude protein, and then it'll go through some calculations in regards to heat damage, and then they'll have an adjusted crude protein. And so if you do have heat damage and the adjusted crude protein is different from the crude protein, then use the adjusted crude protein. And I just say, Aaron, as I take a look at it, it's this year we're gonna, it looks like to me, have plenty of hay. And I think Ben's right. I think there's been challenges to put up hay at the right time and then not getting it rained on. So I think the idea is that it's really important to get a good sample and a good test. The other thing is, Aaron, I'll just tell you, it's tough for me when I take a look at rations and you think about hay. The reason why we feed it is we feed it for the energy. And when you get something below 55, 56% TDN, it's difficult to put together a ration for a cow, especially in after calving and during lactation. And so take a good look at those numbers. Protein is usually, we harped on that enough, but protein 7 to 12% crude protein, we can use that. But I think when you get down into the low 50s for TDN, you've got to probably add a little bit of distillers. And if you're not set up to add distillers to the ration, it becomes a little bit of a challenge to feed that feed.
Talk a little about understanding the results when we get them back, Rick. What do we need to look at there? We'll have a as received, then we'll have on a dry matter basis. How do I read that and make sense of it?
Yeah, that's a good question. I get that question a lot, Aaron, but you will get on as received and then on a dry matter. So the difference between those is that on the average as received numbers basically include moisture in those numbers because you don't send in a dry sample. You send in a sample that has moisture in it. So the as received and then the dry matter, basically the dry matter is the numbers that are calculated with the moisture out. So it's at 100% dry matter. And when we look at balancing diets or rations, we use the dry matter because nutrient requirements of the beef cow or any beef animal are based on dry matter. And so, Aaron, you asked a good question. Sometimes people get focused in on that as received and they say, man, there can be a big difference. And there can be, depending on the amount of moisture. But take a look at the dry matter. We look at dry matter when we develop rations. Because the nutrient requirements are based on dry matter.
Let's shift gears now and talk about hay inventory. We've got our tests back. We're looking at the hay we have on hand. How do we begin to think about what do we have versus what we need?
Good question. So to me, the idea is that when I think about inventory, and I think about hays that I would have that have differences in quality. And so the idea would be, I'd basically get an inventory of the hay that I would consider high quality, medium quality, and low quality. And then the other piece of that is that once I get that inventory based on quality, the idea would be when am I going to feed that particular hay? Or it gives me a good idea based on that test when would be the best time to feed that hay without an awful lot of supplementation. So once you get it inventoried by quality, I would inventory hays. If I had alfalfa, I'd probably inventory by protein as well because alfalfa is a good quality protein. But the other hays, I'd probably inventory by TDN. And the idea is that once you get them inventoried by quality, you'd go back and take a look at, okay, does this feed meet the animal's requirement if I feed it at stage X? Or if it doesn't meet the requirement at stage Y, maybe it's better to feed it at stage X. Or maybe be able to take a look at the inventory and say, okay, this is the kind of hay that I'm going to wait to feed until after calving. It may meet the animal's protein and energy requirements without any supplementation, or it may be high enough that I only need a little bit of supplementation to make that hay meet help meet the requirements of the beef cow, especially protein and energy wise. So that's how I'd take a look at that inventory part, Aaron.
Ben, as we start to think about feeding this hay out, what's some strategy in terms of delivering that hay? We've talked a little about we get the results back. We're looking at feeding the hay to the cow. We get those test results on a dry matter basis, but we feed cows on an as-fed basis. How do we make that adjustment and make sure we're actually delivering the amount we need?
Sure, Aaron. And so, on that end, we got to do a little bit of math. You can usually figure, depends a little bit where, how we're storing and everything, but figure most hay sitting around 10% moisture or so, just for an easy number to work with. And so we can make adjustments, or you can go back to that hay test you have, that gives us the moisture content of that hay. And so we can kind of just basically back calculate back off of once we've developed that ration with the numbers from the dry matter, we can just do a little bit of math on the back end and change it back to an as-fed basis. Then we know exactly how much, we need from those hay bales that we actually have. And then once we have that all figured out and we know a little bit of our operational plan going forward and what our calendar looks like, we can start thinking about staging that hay and getting it, in a place. We don't know what the winter is going to look like, but it's always better to have it so it's easy access, so it's not in a mud hole or something like that that's going to be really hard to get out of if we get a lot of snow and drifting and things like that. And think about kind of what Rick was talking to, that if we've got bales that we want during that peak lactation period when the cow's demands are highest, where do we put those at in the bale yard so we kind of are getting to those at the point of the year that we're actually going to need them and we don't need to be moving other bales around. It's going to look different for everybody's operation, but the way that we can lay things out so it's going to be the easiest to get to and we're not having to make decisions on the fly and figure out which bales are which and how we've sorted all of that is going to make things a lot easier on the feeding side, especially on those, cold days in the middle of January when we've got a snowstorm running in and we're short on time. We can just grab what we need and go. The other thing that I throw in here, and Rick mentioned it at the beginning, if we've got some summer annuals that we want to run a nitrate test on, hopefully this year we've had a lot of locations, we've gotten pretty good moisture across the state, but there's always a risk of having high nitrates with some of our summer annuals. If we do have some that come back a little bit on the hot side, making sure that we mark those clearly. We can still use those bales, we need to dilute it into the ration so we're not exceeding the nitrate limits for the animals that we're feeding them to. But we want to make sure that those are clearly marked so we don't run into any train wrecks down the road and accidentally feed a hot bale and cause some problems with that.
Yeah, Aaron, I agree with everything Ben said. And I think about when you asked about when you feed it, and I we can put together a diet and it'll meet the requirements, and delivery is really important. The other piece of that is that you got to figure out how much hay waste or feed waste you have, because there'll be some feed waste that goes on in there if you feed baled hay, even if you put it through a processor and that kind of thing. When we figure out that intake that will meet both protein and energy requirements, I usually kick that up by another 10% or so just to account for feeding losses. Sometimes feeding losses can be higher than that, sometimes it can be lower than that. But don't forget that there are going to be some feeding losses. And if you're just right on the mark in regards to intake that it takes to meet that protein and energy requirement, you're probably going to short them just a little bit. So account for feeding waste. Even if you do the best you can, there's going to be some waste.
That's a good point, Rick. Just even from a storage standpoint, there's waste on the feeding side, but if we've got round bales and we're storing them outside, depending on what part of the state we're in, especially if we're towards the eastern side where we can get some significant precipitation, we can have some loss in the bale itself. It's not uncommon to have up to, 20, 25% loss in storage if we've got them in a bad spot or we get moisture pooling around them or things like that. So if we've got some really high quality hay, that's another thing from, staging it and storing it. If we can get that underneath a roof or put a tarp over it and make sure that the water's draining away from it and everything, and protect those high quality bales, make sure that we don't have any degradation and loss from that standpoint. That's another thing that would be good to consider.
Yeah, I think Ben, you hit the nail on the head, is that you can do all kinds of staging, but if you put it in a place that it's going to accumulate water or things like that, and it has an impact on regards to quality kinds of things, is that you don't want to have dry matter losses as well as feeding losses when you think about the hay that you bought and that's going to be fed to the cow herd. So I'd agree, staging is important, but also where you stage at so you have water running away, moisture running away from the bales, I think is really important.
Ben, you mentioned something and we didn't dive into it, but there's some hay that, as you said, was put up a little juicy. And so that means it has the potential to get hot. As we're going out and sampling bales, is there anything we need to be paying attention to in doing that? And maybe some of these bales that are a little juicy, do we think about storing those differently?
Yeah, Aaron, that's a really good point. And so if we do run into some bales that are a little bit on the warm side, it's a little bit harder to tell right now. But as you pull that core sample out, I mean, you can kind of feel when you're taking a sample out of a bale that's warm, that core sample is going to come out pretty warm itself. There is that risk as we open them up, especially, and we start to feed out, if they haven't cooled down, that we get oxygen exposed into that and we can have some combustion issues. Or as they continue to, basically what they're doing is decomposing, we can run into that combustion risk. And so if we've got bales that were put up warm, we definitely want to keep those away from the rest of the bale yard, keep those, away from equipment or out of a shed, make sure that we've got good airflow around them to help cool them down, prevent any possible combustion issues, get as much moisture away from them as possible. And if we do, run into having a problem where something ignites, at least they're separate. We can control it and keep it the damage limited. We don't want to, put those together in a tight situation because once we start to get limited airflow, things heat up pretty fast and we can run into problems pretty quickly.
Anything else on this topic you'd like to highlight today?
Aaron, I think the cow-calf sector right now is it's really good, and in fact, most sectors in the beef industry is really good. But I always think that when you in good times, what are opportunities to crank down input costs? And I think the stuff that we talked about today is one of the ways that that we can look at how we can crank down input costs. And the idea of knowing what you have, and then knowing what the requirements are, and being able to fill in those gaps economically. Now's the time to maybe take a look at that as compared to waiting until times are not too good, and you got to look at ways to crank down input costs. So I always thought when times are good, look at opportunities to cut costs.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, Rick, and kind of where we started this. Like I said, I think there's going to be there's a lot of hay out there if you look at the reports and everything, but the quality I think is going to be all over the place this year. So, doing some testing, knowing what you have, so you can work it into your system, or if you're purchasing it, you know what you're buying. Like you said, Rick, make sure that we're cutting our feed costs and actually using things where they can be beneficial is going to be important this year.
Rick, Ben, thanks for your time today and for putting this article together. I think just some good things to remind ourselves in terms of the fundamentals of getting that hay home, getting it allotted, knowing what we have, and then getting it delivered to the cows.
Thanks, Aaron.
Yeah, thank you, Aaron.
Well, for more information on the topic that we talked about in today's Beef Watch podcast, you can find the article at beef.unl.edu. The title of the article, Fall and Winter Management Strategies for the Cow Herd, Sample, Test, Inventory, and Stage Harvested Hay.